Thank you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. If you don't mind checking your phone, Brother Eric, I text you a closing song. Thank you. So be prepared, worship team. One of the songs that they sang. Nobody gets those afterwards. The fish is for the first person who brings a note from their mother with permission. They can take the fish home. You gotta get a note from their mom, okay?
What?
And the bird is Chico.
Hey, Chico.
And that's Drew and Captain's bird. He's going home with them. So anyhow, so to start off this morning, there was a guy, goes into the doctor's, and he said, "Doctor, I got a problem. My wife is deaf." Doctor's like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah." He said, it's really bad. You got to help me do something because my wife is completely deaf." Doctor says, "All right, well, I got a little test for you." He says, "When you come home from work," he said, "take your shoes off and ask your wife, what's for dinner? And just see what happens." And he's like, "Okay." So he comes home from work, he takes his shoes off inside the front door and hollers out, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Nothing. So he takes 10 more steps across the room, he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" Nothing. So he goes all the way into the kitchen and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" She turns around and says, "For the third time, chicken." We always think it's someone else's problem. It's never our problem. And it's difficult to admit that we actually might be the one wrong. But today's message is for you. It's not for your wife. It's not for your neighbor. It's not for her sitting way over here or him over there. It's for you. I believe we all struggle with this issue to some extent. And you can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. It's one verse, but it's worth turning to. Proverbs chapter 12. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Proverbs 12, verse 25. And this is kind of the key verse for this morning. It says, "Anxiety in the heart causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Notice, if you would, with me in the text, it says, "A good word makes it glad." So I had to think, what's the it? Is that anxiety? Does a good word make anxiety glad? No. I think, as I read this, that the it is the heart. A good word makes it, your heart, glad. And so it would seem, according to this verse, that anxiety lives where? In our hearts. It could be said then, anxiety is a heart issue. And in turn, one must deal with issues of the heart to get to the root of anxiety. And as I mentioned before, not too long ago, but it's worth repeating today, the word heart. In studying that word a while ago, came to grasp that the root word of heart is ear. And inside of the word heart, you also find the word hear. And so much of what settles into our hearts comes through our ears. And be careful, fathers and mothers, be gentle on your children's ears, and in turn, you will be gentle to their hearts. And be careful, husbands and wives, be gentle on each other's ears, and in turn, you will be gentle to their hearts. So, back to anxiety. What is anxiety? So, a definition that I found online, I felt fit very well. I don't know if it's necessarily a biblical definition, but I liked it, So for what it's worth, it says it's an intense, excessive, persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. Okay? A persistent, intense, excessive worry and fear about everyday situations. And so as I understand this definition, anxiety is not from an event. So you can't have anxiety about a wedding because that's just an event or a funeral. And you can't get anxiety from buying a house. I mean, you can be excited, you can be nervous. I mean, that's all normal things. Don't feel like you have anxiety if you're buying a house, because we all kind of go through that a little bit. So anxiety sets in, again, when we have intense, excessive, persistent worry and fear about everyday situations. And notice again that it's not just worry. Anxiety is more than just worry. It adds the word fear. And when fear comes with worry, it becomes, again, anxiety when we look at everyday situations. So don't think you're off the hook completely this morning if you don't have anxiety as defined. Because we're going to talk about worry, the thing that happens before you get to anxiety. The Bible has a lot to say about worry. We all have a little worry. I think that's how we're wired. And the Bible instructs us to work on worry long before it sets into our hearts and becomes fear and anxiety. And so we're going to look at worry. And you can turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, we're looking at verses 25 to 34 this morning. I've preached more of this section before, kind of went back to this, and yet God pulled some new things out and reworked a few things, and these are one of my all-time favorite sections of Scripture in Matthew 6. And in my favorite list is these verses 25 to 34. I like the whole section of Matthew 6. He covers a lot of things. But these are, again, some of my favorite verses. It begins, and again, it's worth noting that it's in red. These are the words of Christ. And these are the things that Jesus said. Now, what did Jesus say? He said only what the Father God told him to say. It's interesting to note as we think about worry. This is what God wanted you to hear in a real way. This is what God, your maker, wanted you to hear about worry. And he used his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus only said what God wanted him to say. So, again, consider that fact as we read this morning. We'll begin in verse 25. I'm going to go through a verse at a time or so. In verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And I say almost a redundant question, but the life is more than food. Of course, the body is more than clothing, or is it? You see, in America, and especially Lancaster County, food is a destination. Food is often what you do. Food determines where you go. Think about it. If you're going out, it depends on what direction you're going because of what restaurant is in that direction. That determines where we go, right? When we say we're going out, when we consider, well, where are we going to eat? That's the first thing. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. That's what we do, right? Help me out, right? That's what we do. Where are we going to eat? It determines where we go. It sets a course on the rest of our evening. Is your body more than the clothes you wear? Well, we can say absolutely. And yet, it's so easy for me took a look at somebody else's clothes and figured that I knew them. Society defines us by our clothes we wear. Society classes us by the clothes we wear. And you and I also define and classify others by what we see in their clothes. It's a bad habit, but I catch myself doing this. We tend to label or even judge others by their clothes. And again, the challenge, a challenge this morning is to look beyond the outside fig leaves and look to their heart. Now, this is a scary thought. Try this on for size. I don't think God sees clothes when he looks at you. I don't think God sees clothes when he looks at you. I don't think he sees skin either when he looks at you. How strange for our heads to think that way. And it's not that he can't see it, but when he looks at us, I don't think that's what he sees. You get that? And what a challenge for us that when we would look at someone, we don't see skin and we don't see clothes. Now, Luke and I were led in the same direction this morning. We felt it was picnic time, so we took our ties off and have short sleeve shirts on. So anyhow, thought that was interesting. We both came dressed sort of the same this morning. But anyhow, what a challenge that when we would see others, we wouldn't see skin and we wouldn't see clothes. And so God tells us not to worry, but he knows us. And he knows we need help. And he knows that when we train up little ones, you know, you got to tell them again and again and again and again, this is how it is, this is how we work. And so God says, don't worry. And then he gives us an example. And it's found in verse 26. It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Right on time, Chico. Anybody hear that? He chirped. That was good. So why did God make the birds? Now, there are a lot of scientific answers to that question, but the short answer is for our example. You know what happens when you don't feed the birds in the wintertime when there's snow all over the ground and it's freezing cold outside and you forget and you don't put bird feed in your bird feeder? You know what happens? Nothing. The birds don't starve. Who feeds the birds? God feeds the birds. He says this several times in Scripture, different places. God feeds the birds. Birds might freeze on rare circumstances, but I don't believe they starve. There's a lot of birds, and there is a lot of birds. In the fall, the starlings, they flock up in big cylinders, like 30 feet around, and they migrate, and they come through our backyard every fall. And you can hear them in the house. Their wings are, I mean, there's so many birds. And it's a cylinder that goes beyond what you can see, and it touches down in our yard, and then it takes off, and then it touches down across 23, and then it touches down in a big field way out, and you can't see the end of it. There is a migration of starlings, and it's usually followed by the squeak, poom, squeak, poom, squeak, of the BB gun. When my sons were little, they're bigger now. They don't quite, they're working during the day. But for some reason, one of my sons tracked it, and they usually came on Thursday. But anyways, that's interesting. Over the years, the birds usually migrated south on a Thursday. At least that's when they got to our house. There's a lot of birds, okay? For as far as you can see, and I've spent some time in the woods. I've never seen a starving bird. Have you? Have you ever seen a starving bird? It's our example. It's a testimony to us, the birds. And God even asked you After he says, your heavenly Father feeds them, then he asks, are you not of more value than they? He gives us an example, and then he presses in and says, aren't you more valuable than they? And birds like us are unique and beautiful, and some, of course, are more rare than others, but God cares and feeds all of them. We are to observe the birds, and from watching them, we are to take comfort that God watches us. And in every bird song, he whispers to you, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. The red-winged blackbird, red-winged blackbird, I think that's it. Don't you worry, don't you worry. That's what he says. Last night as I was preparing this, it was late and there was activity in the home and comings and goings and excitement. And I was getting warm sitting in my chair trying to study and trying to pay attention to the conversation. And I was getting warm, so I reached back. It was 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and I reached back and opened the window behind my chair. It was dark. And a couple of birds went off right away. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were going all night. I just opened the window and heard them. And they sang for a few minutes while I'm studying this. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I'm doing the right thing. So again, God sings to us in bird song not to worry. And then in verse 27, he challenges us. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? And I believe that question is God asking you, so what does worry do? What does worry accomplish? What do you gain by worrying? What do you get for worrying? I'm here this morning to tell you it does nothing. Worry does nothing. You can't get anything from worrying. You don't even feel better. In fact, medically, it can actually make you physically sick if you worry. But positive gain on worrying, there is none that I'm aware of. None. Worry does nothing positive. Worry does nothing at all. Listen, worry does nothing. Repeat it back to me. Worry does nothing. And God spoke through Jesus again, saying to us, do not worry. And then he gives us the example of the birds, and then he gives us the example of flowers. Verse 28, he says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Our second example to watch and see how God cares for us is the flowers. A little bit about lilies. Lilies are the fourth most popular flower in the United States. Lilies are one of the few flowers that are commonly used for both weddings and funerals. A lily is the official flower of the 30th wedding anniversary. The lily of the valley is the official flower of the second year wedding anniversary. I don't know what that means, but it gets better, right? Lily is a popular English name for girls. And I thought this was interesting. The Hebrew word for lily, if I'm saying it correctly, is Shohana. Shohana. It's S-H-O-H-A-N-N-A. Shohana. And from that Hebrew word, we get the names Susanna, Susan, Suzette, Suzanne, etc. It's the American derivative of the Jewish word for lily. The delicacies of the lily are renowned. The weight of that flower is, it's one of the heaviest flowers. It's, the leaves are thick, almost like leather. It's thick enough that you crush the leaves and it creates an oil, and it's used for ointment or topical or whatever. Interesting. It is so heavy at the top end, and the stem is so slender that science cannot duplicate the structure of a lily and hold itself up. So a lily standing is beyond our ability in science to engineer something like a lily. God took the time to array the time. That's kind of a funny statement. God took the time. There, you know, he made time. But anyhow, for us to understand the idea, God took the time to array this flower with so much splendidity. It's amazing. And it will truly wither away to nothing. Is not your body more than clothes to wear? We all know God cares about our spiritual being. And there's no doubt in our minds that God cares spiritually for us. But the amazing thing in this text is that the examples that God gives us on how he cares for us are actually physical things this morning. God tells us that he cares for us physically too. He says this by telling us to observe how he cares for the birds. He also tells us in real physical ways how he cares for us by how he dresses the flowers. And in verse 30, he says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" You see, we are to trust him with our everyday needs exactly because of the intricate detail that he builds into every short-lived flower. Flowers, like birds, are our witness of God and his faithfulness. And so he says in verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after these things the Gentiles seek." And I say to that verse, amen. The Gentiles seek those things. This is what the world chases. What do they eat? What do they drink? And what do they wear? Try to tell me that you know of a TV commercial that isn't trying to persuade somebody what to eat, what to drink, or what to wear. And I will lump vehicles into what you wear just because they didn't have them in the Bible. I mean, you don't put a vehicle on, but you get it in the vehicle. So anyhow, if you lump cars and trucks in with what you wear, try to find a commercial that isn't persuading you on what you should wear and what you should eat and what you should drink. This, brothers and sisters, is what the world chases. This scripture is very true. The world seeks after these things. They compare and compare, and they compare each other to each other, trying to outdo one another. Brothers and sisters, this is not for us. For those who are called to be Christ-like Christians, we are not to chase these things. We are not to worry about what to eat or drink or wear. God provides what we need. God provides what we need. How does he know? Well, he says in the last half of verse 32, he says, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all things." If you ever wondered, does God see me? Here it is. Does God know that we need a car? Yeah, he does. Does God know that I need another apartment? Yeah, he does. Does God know that I need a job? Yeah, he does. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He doesn't miss it. He doesn't miss it. God knows what we need. He is not blind to our physical being. He very much cares for us in all these areas of our lives. But the world, in stark contrast, has no peace in their lives. And they never find peace in what they eat and what they drink and what they wear. They look for peace over and over in these things, and yet they were only satisfied until their stomachs are empty again. It's a vicious cycle. And trying to satisfy oneself through eating and drinking and clothing and vehicles, you only feel good as long as you have the smell of something new in your nose. And you will truly never be satisfied. And this is a dangerous ride that never stops until one is flat broke or broken or both. And this is our temptation as we live in this world. But God does provide a way around temptation of worrying. And so what is the remedy for worrying? What's the remedy for worrying? I present to you, it's found in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, we can read this, and we can sing the little song, Seek Ye First, but can we actually do it? It's very difficult to actually seek God first. To take care of God's kingdom first and to do his will perpetually in front of our own will is a tall order. And the promises in this scripture assures us that when we do seek his kingdom first, he will provide for us in real physical ways. And it says it, and I believe it. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. And you may ask me in line out here, so how comes there's starving people all over the world? And I'll tell you, great question. And I'll read this again, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I'll read it again, but I don't know why, but I believe it. Just because I may not understand Scripture and context of the whole world around me, it doesn't believe that I don't believe what it says. Are you with me there? I will not limit my perception of God to the limits of my own brain. If he said it, it's true, even though I don't know how to all grasp it. But I'm not going to say because there was a starving person somewhere that this verse doesn't apply. I can't say that to God. In verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that last verse almost sounds peaceful, right? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Kind of sounds peaceful. Except it's not really peaceful. when you look at the words, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, word by word, it's not very peaceful. But let me explain. How can that feel peaceful? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How can that feel peaceful? I believe it's because we are made for today. We are created to live in today. We were not made for tomorrow. It hasn't happened yet. We are made one for one day at a time. You see, our tendency is to add yesterday's mishaps to today's oops while thinking about tomorrow's ifs, and all of a sudden we're buried. That's not how we're wired. We are made for today. We are made to experience today, and that's it. The old song rings true, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. When we accept the gift and sometimes trouble of today alone, we can bear it. This is what we were made for. We can read, sufficient for the day is its own trouble, and it sound almost peaceful because we can handle all the trouble that one day brings. We can do that. We are made for this. We are wired for this. The problem comes when we have not released yesterday, and when we add the ifs of tomorrow on top of today, we get slammed. We get emotionally squashed. And all of a sudden, we can't make it through the one day that we have. And God is asking here for you to let go of tomorrow. I'd like for y'all to close your eyes. I'm not done. This is just an exercise. Close your eyes. Put your hands out. Open them in front of you. Close your eyes and open your palms. Put them in front of you on your laps. Think about everything for tomorrow. Think about everything for this week. Think about everything for next month. Think of everything that you are inclined to worry about and put them in your hand. Put them right there. Now close your hands. Grasp them tight. Hold on to them. I have a feeling the more that you carry, the tighter your grip is going to be. God is asking you here and now to let go of tomorrow. He wants you to let go of tomorrow. And as you are able, open your hands and give God tomorrow. It may take some folks a little longer. Holding on to tomorrow, if you're still holding on to tomorrow, you've noticed that your hands are starting to get numb. Your arms are aching. Your muscles are tense. And now that you think about it, the rest of you is tense. Relax and give God tomorrow. And the rest of you will relax as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You may open your eyes. That's your refrigerator verse for the morning. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And back to Proverbs 12:25. You can listen as I read it again. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Notice something else here with me from this verse in Proverbs, the last line. A good word makes it, again, your heart glad. When anxiety truly is present in your heart, when there is an intense and a worrying fear, with fear that doesn't go away, you often need help to get through that. You do. Think about it. It says a good word makes it, your heart, glad. It often takes someone else speaking into your life. As in, you need help from others when you recognize that you actually have anxiety. And it's okay to ask for help. It's not wrong. This is good and healthy to recognize when you need help. And we need to help each other. Please do ask for help. Getting through anxiety often takes more than just one person to help you. A good word makes your heart glad, Scripture says, and we can conclude that many words help keep your heart glad. In closing, I would like to encourage you this morning through song. And this song was inspired by the study of these same verses. And these were, again, some of my all-time favorite verses. And I want you to recognize the flower and the birds and the fish all around you as you, again, witness God's great care and compassion for you. I think one of the reasons that I connect with these verses is that I see myself as an encourager, and I want to encourage you. That's something I think God has laid on my heart, to be an encourager. And I'd like for you to be encouraged this morning. The order at the end of the service will happen just so everybody in the worship team knows. I'm going to go through this little song, and then I'm going to have a prayer for the fellowship meal. The fellowship meal is put on by the youth, so the youth are helping out by way of announcement. They're going to be rearranging the chairs. I understand we are going to eat in here, so we will normally go through the line and come out here, but the youth are taking care of the food in the kitchen and helping set up chairs, so thank you, youth, for inviting you to their picnic. And then outside, the parking lot is open, and we invited folks to bring lawn chairs and hang out outside in a beautiful day and maybe even listen to the birds. We'll see if they show up, right? So I have a little song, and then during the prayer for the meal and for the closing of the service, I'll have the worship team come up and lead us in a song, Jesus, All for Jesus. And again, if there's any way that God is asking you to respond, you're welcome to come to the altar this morning. And a brother or a sister will come and encourage you this morning. So here's a little song. And it is, again, for your encouragement this morning. Listen to the birdies singing in the trees. They can sing all day, and He takes care of them. So when you hear the birdies, know that this is true. If God can care for birdies, He can care for you. So don't worry about the things that you can wear. No, don't worry about the things that you can eat. Don't worry about the things that you can't do. Just remember that God can take care of you. Now what about the fish swimming deep in the sea? Well, they don't worry about what they can't see. So when you think of fishes, know that this is true. If God can care for fishes, He can care for you. So don't worry about the things that you can wear. No, don't worry about the things that you can't bear. Don't worry about the things that you can't do. Just remember that God can take care of you. Well, now we all know about the flowers in the spring, where they don't spin a toil, but they don't need a thing. So when you see the flowers coming up through the snow, don't you know? If God can care for flowers, He can care for you. So don't worry about the things that you can wear. No, don't worry about the things that you can't bear. Don't worry about the things that you can't do. Just remember that God can take care of you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we are again grateful for the way that you provide for us again and again and again. And God, we're reminded of the many, many witnesses of your creation, of the birds that sing, of the flowers that bloom. God, we again are awestruck by the detail and the care that you have for your creation. And you asked us this morning, God, are we not of more value than they? And God, we must humble ourselves and say, yes, 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 God. Yes, God, we are. God, help us not to worry. God, release our hearts from anxiety. Help us to encourage one another. And give us the freedom to have your joy and your hope. And God, I bless this time of fellowship. I bless the food and the hands that have prepared it. Bless the youth and the advisors for helping orchestrate this meal. Pray that it would be a time that we could come together and encourage one another over food. God, over the food that you have provided again. Help us to be accountable for the many, many, many ways that you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.